mit vorne dabei. Stuttgarter Tor ist leer. Alles oder nichts. Das komplette Fleisch ist aus dem Grill, auf dem Grill in die Ecke gekommen. Und er ist drin!
Welcome to episode 53 of Bau FB Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English language Bau FB Stuttgart fan podcast where our views are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. But today, Matt, we are talking about the fact that this club is still undefeated since the Bayern Munich match. Should we be excited? Are we jumping up and down?
I'm planning the parade already. I've ordered maps of Stuttgart. I'm plotting out routes that they can take, and I'm creating a parade route from Cleveland to Detroit so that we can take part.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome.
The Orange Cone Parade, as they call it around these parts.
There's construction everywhere.
That's one of the things I love about European football is that you can say you're undefeated, and even though you haven't won a game in a month or so. So We drew versus Leipzig, which everybody was happy about. We drew versus Bremen, which a lot of people are unhappy about. So why don't we just dive right into that? Daniel said it best, Captain Armadillo. And I actually, sidebar, kind of thought about this. Like, in ancient times, there were elephants that were used as means of weapons. You had horses and cavalry, obviously. It would be somewhat frightening if somebody came at me, and I was a regular soldier, with just a horde of armadillos. I would like to believe that Captain Armadillo actually did do that, was in the armed forces, and that was his kind of special, you know, forte. What would be another animal that you would just be frightened to see come your way if you were a soldier?
Possums are oddly terrifying. If you've ever had one bare its teeth and claws at you instead of pretending to be asleep, they're nasty creatures.
I never thought about that. All right, so possums and armadillos. If there's ever a conflict, America, Matt and I are your guy. We'll help you out. Let's talk about Captain Armadillo's point. I think he said it really best. So let's start off with that. He said, based on the first half of the match, we were lucky to get a point. Based on the second half of the match, we were unlucky to get a point. Let's start there. What are your thoughts on that comment?
I'm completely in agreement with him. It's unfair that he said it better than either of us would have. But yeah, the team started super sluggish. It was like somebody switched out the espresso for some decaf Folgers crystals and just could not get it going. And Bremen came right in and kicked us in the teeth right away. But whatever Matarazzo said to him at halftime, it worked. And even before then, really about the first 20 minutes, Bremen owned. And after that, we started to turn it around a little bit. But Stuttgart just owned the second half. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm in complete agreement. By the time that game was drawing to a close, I was thinking we should be up by two or three goals.
Yeah, we both predicted a Stuttgart win last week, which was probably the death knell for the team.
Shame on us.
Sorry, guys. The thing that struck me about this one is that Bremen came out on fire. They didn't play like a newly promoted team like a Bochum or Union Berlin when they were promoted, where they played this tough, gritty football. They were pressing us like crazy. And the big question I had as the match was going on was, can they maintain this momentum through 90 minutes? Because I think that was what part of the problem was the previous week against Wolfsburg. And they were just pushing, pressing. And you could tell the guys in black were struggling with that. Sidebar, real quick, what did you think of the third kit, the all-black uniform from Jaco Jocko?
I liked it a lot. I was really honestly hoping to see the red ones just because I haven't seen them yet. But I like that black one a lot. I think it's sharp.
There were a couple different posts on the Twitter machine of different people who rate these kind of things that Stuttgart had won, or I guess maybe it was Stuttgart, Jaco, had won the kit wars this year, that they have just produced the nicest kits of all the ones in Germany and some in Europe. Hard to lie. The thing I like about that black and red away one is it's almost so ugly, it's beautiful. I mean, I love it. And then the white and red one is just, we've talked about this before, it's so difficult to change up white and red. And it's able to do it somehow. And it looks really sharp. So yeah, the black one looked good. It was slimming, which is also very important.
Yep. Good for the American fan base.
We very much appreciate that, Jaco or Jocko, whoever you might be. Thank you. Making us look good. But Bremen looked really good for this match to start. Going back to Daniel's thought, I'm going with the thing. We were lucky to get a point based on the way this match started. There's this a saying that the first 20 minutes, the home team comes out on fire. And certainly Bremen did that. They were off the post a few minutes after the goal. There was another great opportunity they had that was missed. They could have, in theory, been up at least 2-0, 3-0, maybe. I mean, they just came out on fire. I was super impressed with the way they played. I did not expect that, you know, at all going into that match. So I'm kind of the mind that we were lucky to get a point on that one. It's disappointing the way we did. Based on the way Bremen came out on fire, I don't know. It's hard to argue with the draw.
Yeah, anytime you take points from an away game, no matter who it's against, that's probably a pretty good outcome. And like you said, Freiburg just – they looked like a Champions League-level club with their confidence for the first 20 to 30 minutes of this game. And, like, they thought Stuttgart was some no-name club from Metro Cleveland that they were just going to smoke.
You know, that no-name club from Metro Cleveland – we made it to the final eight of the fourth division of American football.
We are very proud of them for it.
Sir. So, yeah, they did look a little bit rough, though. So, you know, the fun fact going into this one, though, is some trends stayed the same. So Kalajic set up the first goal in the fall last season. It was an own goal, but he helped set it up. And then Silas scored two goals in the spring. Well, this year, Kalajic set up the – he had, I think, two assists in this one, and he set up Silas's score in the second. So here's a kind of a strange thing. There's been some talk about how Kalajic just isn't playing that well, how he's struggling, but he has three assists. And granted, the one with Endo was maybe kind of a gift assist, but he seems to be the best guy at playing the ball down the middle, holding the ball up, and his passes to Silas were gorgeous.
Yeah, and I think most of our fan base recognizes how good he is with his feet and how good he is at moving the ball. But we got to remember, too, he's, for scoring purposes, he's highly reliant on people getting the ball into him, partly because of the system and partly because just the style that he plays. So we didn't, you know, Sosa wasn't in there until the 60th minute.
Right.
And he's not 100%. And we had Wegnerman went out with an injury. So the ball service up wasn't great. And also, we've got some guys that missed a lot of time, Sasa included, last season, that are just kind of getting back. There's going to be some rust. This episode brought to you by Rust-Oleum.
Hey.
That the guys are shaking off. It's going to take some time. It's unreasonable to think that they'd be coming out, clicking on all cylinders right away. But I was impressed by his performance. Where were you at on it?
Yeah, I there's a question that we'll deal with later about, you know, if the distraction of him possibly leaving the team before the August window closes is becoming an issue. I can understand that because he's a striker and he's supposed to score goals. And that's how those guys are rated. I still see him emotionally invested. I still see him moving up and down the pitch. I see him playing some beautiful passes, like you said, with his feet. He's just not getting the crosses in. And a lot of that, I think, is to his own deficit, that I think what a lot of us may be realizing, and maybe this is why his market value isn't what we think it should be, is he and Borna Sosa may be just linked together like conjoined twins, that he has such a height advantage over everybody, and Borna Sosa can just lob in these beautiful crosses, that they are a match made in heaven. I'm not saying Kalajic couldn't play with somebody like, say, a Filip Kostić, for example,
sure,
who does that. Or, you know, Cologne is a club that I watch a lot, and they do a lot of crosses into the box. But Borna Sosa is the guy who does that for us, and those two seem to be kind of linked together. So I can kind of understand why some supporters are upset, think maybe he's checked out. I don't think he has. I mean, we'll get to that question, you know, later. I just think it's a matter of some bad luck and exactly what you said. He needs to get the ball into the box for him to score, and we're just not getting the ball in the box. Him as a player in the middle of the field, distributing passes. The Bundesliga did a breakdown of some of the matches this week, and they did a tactics breakdown. And one of the articles focused on VfB's match, what Matarazzo did. And at some point he pulled Thiago out of the match. He put Silas up front and he put Kalajic almost where Thiago was. So it was almost like Silas was up top. Kalajic was playing behind him. And that's when we scored the goals. And so that'll get into our next topic of Thiago. So as the match gets going, it's all Bremen, like we said early. There's two big topics I want to hit on. We all saw the match. It was, like I said, Bremen came out on fire, and then Stuttgart found their way into the match. The thing that Ricky Palm and a lot of people on Twitter mentioned is that, and he mentioned in the last 10 matches, Stuttgart has been down 6 times in the first 15 minutes. So a lot of what we saw last year is happening this year, where it just seems like this club sleepwalks to start. And that's my only big concern with Freiburg, because we'll get into that in a minute, but I like our chances against Freiburg, but not if this club takes 20 minutes to get into the match.
Yeah. I don't know what their pregame ritual is, but it's not working real well. So maybe change some stuff up there. I don't know. I was never a player that had a hard time getting up for a game or getting started when the first whistle went. So this is not something I easily wrap my head around. But yeah, I don't know. It's got nothing.
Yeah, it's bizarre because the home teams usually come out like that. Bremen certainly did. But Stuttgart has done this on the road. They've done this at home. We just we kind of work our way into the match. And I played, you know, very low-level tennis before. And a lot of times you kind of give up the first few games of the match to figure out how your opponent plays. And I do understand that. But you don't want to give up the first two sets of a match to figure that out. So it just seems to be a common theme. The other common theme that we see over at least the last two games is Thiago Tomás, who we all loved last year. Word is he may be getting benched for this game, partly because Borna Sosa is back to almost full fitness, partly because Thiago hasn't really been visible too much out there. Now, last week you came to his defense. Based on what you saw this week, should Thiago be in the starting 11? Should he be on the bench? What are your thoughts?
You know, it's kind of hard to say. One of the tough things watching the game on TV and not seeing it in person is you can't see the whole field. So it's like last week, Tomas was pulling defenders around by his movements and creating space for his teammates. And that's something that Matarazzo and company will see when they rewatch the game tape, but something that's hard for us to notice while we're watching the games live. If we got to choose between the two, I think I'd lean a little bit toward Borna Sosa lobbing balls in and have Tomas as a late substitute to bring in some speed and venom in a game to punish a tired defender.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see how that's going to go. I agree with you. I think Thiago's probably going to be on the bench for this one, and Borna Sosa, if healthy, is going to be in the lineup. It'll be interesting because there's been a lot of talk about – so Lilian Agelov came on during this match and played just dynamite in the 30 minutes or so that he was in there. And he is a Stuttgart kid. He's gone through the youth system. He's had a number of injuries. And this club has a reputation of growing youth. And ironically, a lot of the players that are young on this – club right now aren't from the Stuttgart youth system. Agelov is. So the fan base is really wanting to see this kid. And every time he's played this summer in the last couple of games when he's gotten the pitch, he looks really good. I wonder if Agelov gets the opportunity over Chris Furich in this match against Freiburg coming up.
I could see that. I know Furich rated out pretty well for the game. But he, in this game and in the Leipzig game, he felt kind of invisible for stretches. And there are times when you're invisible because you're doing your job right, and so nothing big is happening around you. But for a guy like Furich, we need him to be a dynamic playmaker and making big runs and making some noise out there. And it just doesn't quite feel like he's gotten to that yet.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good against Leipzig. I thought a lot of the players looked pretty rough against Bremen. One of those players who we love was Endo. You and I were chatting during the match. I was like, we need to sit Endo. We need to sub Endo. And you're like, I think it's a little too early for that. And I was like, no, I know what I've done. And then he has that thunder strike from basically midfield or wherever. And I'm like, okay, maybe Matt knows something on this one. It was the first match in a long time that I saw Endo, who was pretty much a stable force in the midfield. It almost looked like they were attacking him. He was struggling mightily the first 25 minutes in that match.
Yeah, I felt they seemed to be going after him a little bit. They also seemed to be going after Wagnermann. And maybe the book on him is that he's not a great defender. He's a good offensive. We know he's a good offensive force. That was what everybody told us when we got signed, and from his previous team, some of the guys were popping into Reddit saying, you're going to love this guy. He's a nice offensive chance creator. Maybe they know something we don't. I can't believe a staff of a professional Bundesliga club would know things that we don't.
Right. And that is
but it's possible.
A ridiculous statement. I will probably edit this mere thought that you just put out there that we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This podcast, we clearly know, we don't even know how to pronounce Jaco or Jocko. And we've had 3 weeks to prepare and figure that out. And we still don't know.
At this point, it's part of the brand, Travis. We can't mess with it.
Jaco, Jocko, if you want to sponsor the podcast, let us know.
And maybe we'll pronounce your name properly.
We promise nothing.
So we'll get Austin to pronounce it and then just play a clip of him saying it every time we need to mention it.
The funny thing is, Austin and I were with Bama, our grandmother, over the last week taking care of some family stuff, and she can't understand him either. Bama and nobody, but she yelled at Austin, "Would you enunciate?" So maybe Bama will sponsor, my 95-year-old grandmother will sponsor the podcast.
We'd be lucky to have her.
Yeah, not that we're desperate for anything. If you look at the stats at the end, the stats are funny for hit this one. So everybody knows that. So the second half, like you said, Stuart is just in control. And then about the 80th minute or 85th minute or so, we kind of pull the horses back a little bit. We put in Pfeiffer, we put in Karazor for some defense. And Bremen, unfortunately, was able to get that last minute mess in the box goal. But if you look at the stats, I know they don't mean anything, but Stuttgart had a 1.5 XG to Bremen's half. We had 14 shots to their 5, 7 on target to their 3. We had 5 corners to their 2, which we struggle with. Here's where I think Bremen played really well, though. We only had 75% accurate passes. They had almost 85. We only had 130 passes in their half. They had over 220. Usually don't mess around with those statistics because we probably don't really understand them, but they also had 8 interceptions to our 0. Bremen just played really well in this match and they deserve the draw. So when we go back to the question, a point gained or 2 points lost, I'm going to say a point gained. I know it stinks to lose when the ref blows the whistle 30 seconds after that last goal goes in, but the way that first half went, I was not expecting us to get anything out of that match. So I'm going to go with 1 point gained. So going back to what Captain Armadillo said at the beginning, yeah, it's disappointing to have 3 points in your hand. But when this thing started, I thought we had 0. What say you?
I think last week at this time, we all would have gone, yeah, points good. That's fine. This is an acceptable outcome. And it was only the way it came about that made us upset about it. So, you know, a couple days later, I don't feel so bad about it. Every point is critical, as we saw last season and the season before that, and then the season before that. So while it would really be great to get 3 points against a Werder Bremen, a team that we really should be able to handle, the fact that we got 1 on a road game, I'll take it.
Right. Yeah. It's the way I kind of looked at this is it was a point gain, but it's disappointing. Here's the thing. Going into this match, we expected to have 3 points after 2 weeks, right? We expected to lose to Leipzig and we expected to beat Bremen. So as optimistic as I'm trying to be, we're kind of a point behind my imaginary projection of where we should be. And what kind of makes this a little bit more painful is that team that will never be relegated ever, Augsburg, beat Leverkusen. Then Berlin, Hertha Berlin got a draw versus Frankfurt. Cologne, who I thought was going to struggle this year, but apparently just won't, got a draw at Leipzig, and Schalke got a draw at Gladbach. These are all teams I'm mentioning because I just assumed, along with Bremen, Bochum, they would be in the bottom 9, and they got points they shouldn't have, where we kind of lost points maybe we should have. So the positive, though, I will say, is that, and I'll take it back to Endo, is he played pretty much, I think, the worst match I've seen him play while he's been wearing the Bruce ring. That being said, he had a great comeback into the match, and the entire team did too. So the positive that I take out of this is, yes, we probably did lose 2 points, but the fact this team showed what it has always shown under Matarazzo is this idea that we're never done. We're never going to give up. We're always going to come back. Yes, we're going to make mistakes, but we're not going to dwell on those. We're going to keep. I think that's the biggest takeaway I take out of this, which is why I'm somewhat optimistic going, you know, the rest of the season, even though we may be a little bit behind that imaginary projection of what we thought. So I'm going to take more positive out of this than negative. So that's easy to do. It's only match day, match day two.
Yeah, and there's teams, if we look at the table, Leverkusen is winless. They've lost both of their games against Dortmund and then against Augsburg. So are they terrible? Probably not. It's only two games then. It's too early to draw conclusions from much.
Yeah, but we've got Freiburg coming up, Cologne coming up, Schalke coming up, before we've got Bayern and then Frankfurt. So Frankfurt's struggling a little bit as well. So still plenty of time to pick up some points here. So leave it on the positive. We got 2 points in two matches, so we're well on our way to 34 points on the course of the season. Is that right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I can't math.
Math is
34 points would probably be safe. So that's fine.
Yeah, 1 point every week. How that would be typical Stuttgart, though, wouldn't it? Just to make it
that
drag.
That would. Yes, and that would be a brutal season to watch of just draw after draw after draw.
Well, speaking of a match that is predicted to end in a draw, and I'll get to that in a minute, our predictions for this coming out Saturday, we've got Stuttgart hosting Freiburg. Now, these two have played 47 total matches. Stuttgart leads 26 wins to 15 losses, but we've lost the last four Bundesliga matches in a row. We've only got 3 wins in our last 10. Last fall, we lost 2-3 at home. Then we lost 2-0 on the road. Ali G and Dino scored a couple guns. Ito scored an own goal, unfortunately. So sorry about that, Corey.
Wah, wah.
Freiburg's coming off a loss to Dortmund. And they looked great for the first 60 minutes. And then Dortmund did what Dortmund did. And ended up winning that one 3-1. So Austin and I are going to wager a bottle of grandma's red wine on this one. Lord knows she's got enough, so hopefully she doesn't know it's missing. What do you think the bookies have this one at, and what are your thoughts going into it?
I'm gonna bet it's in Stuttgart. I'm gonna bet it's a pick'em.
It is a pick'em, yeah. So they've got this one as dead even. It's, if you pay attention to the data on it, they've got Freiburg as a slight favorite in this one, but it's basically a pick'em. I can't get Freiburg. They're Europe's darling. The Bundesliga's darling. Everybody loves Freiburg. They've got a great coach, a great stadium, a great city, a great, everything's great about it. And they're playing great football. I'm frightened going into this one, even though I like the way we're playing and I like that we've got some of our key players back. I can't figure Freiburg out.
Yeah, it's like they thumped Augsburg 4-0. And then they got hammered by Dortmund 3-1. And it feels like this is kind of Dortmund every year. Like, they're the team that you don't hate them. There's nothing really evil or twisted to really, really dislike. But also, like, I don't know. I don't get real excited about Freiburg.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who. Maybe the Augsburg team will show up and they'll kick the snot out of us. Or maybe the Dortmund team will show up and we'll beat the tar out of them. It's impossible. It's like they flip a coin in the locker room and go, what are we doing today, boys?
I don't know what Christian Streich is doing, but he rides his bike to the stadium and he's got something figured out. He's been there long enough, Lord knows. Yeah, I don't pretend to know a ton about Freiburg. I know Austin's a big supporter of them. They made some really good signings over the course of the summer. Even though they lost their best defender in Schlotterbeck, they signed Gregoric from Augsburg, who's been scoring goals for them of late. I am cautiously optimistic going into this one because I really, if Borna Sosa's back and if we play Silas up front, we have Kalajic lurking in the box or distributing passes to Silas. I don't know if we're going to get a win in this one. I think it's going to be a really fun game. Two teams that feel they can win it, feel they're going to go for it, a lot of pace back and forth. I expect a really entertaining match. I'm hoping we get a point out of this. It's just, we should get a point out of this.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we're going to get a point out of this. And the way Freiburg's been playing, I would imagine most people who are neutrals would pick Freiburg in this one.
If it was in Freiburg, I think Stuttgart would be given half a goal to start the game. The only reason it's a pick 'em is because we're at home. So Freiburg's probably a slight favorite, like you've been saying, but this is a winnable game.
Who you got?
Kiss of death. I'm going to take Stuttgart. Well, I'm hopeful that we'll get some grease in the wheels. And like Silas, we saw Silas in game one. He looked bad. And then last weekend he started, like the whole team did, bad. But by the end of the game, he seemed to be humming along pretty good. And I'm hopeful that there's some of that starting to go with the rest of the guys on the team. And we see a performance that's more like what we can expect for the rest of the season on Saturday.
Well, the good news is, Matt, you are 2-0 this season when predicting VfB Stuttgart matches. So hopefully you go to 3-0. I'm only 1-1. I'm going to predict a straight up draw on this one because I'm just
coward.
We're going to go 34. We're going to have 0 wins, 34 draws, and 0 losses this season. You heard it here first, folks. So there you go. All right, Matt's got the win. I've got the draw. Hey, Matt, you want to head over to part two and answer some questions?
Let's do it.
We're going to do headlines. Here are the two big headlines that are rocking Europe right now. One is Darko Trilanov has officially moved to the Belgian league. And the second one is some guy named Ronaldo is saying he wants to move to Dortmund. Which story do you think is most important?
I think the Trilanov one is really the one that's probably moving the most tabloids on the continent.
Right. He's going to the second division in Europe, or in England, I believe. Sorry to see Darko move on. He was I predicted him to be the impact player of the year. good luck in Burnley or wherever he's going.
He could be, just not for us.
Right. Just like my Mark Oliver Kemp prediction.
He was very impactful. He kept the bench down, made sure the seats were warm, all the towels were where they needed to be.
Man, I do think we need to calm down on our Mark Oliver Kemp hate, because that poor guy is struggling in Berlin right now. I watched a couple of their matches and oy vey.
I maintain that was addition by subtraction.
It's crazy to think that Hikori Ito is playing in the second division of Japan and is now probably a player that any Bundesliga club would want in front of a guy who I think was on some of the youth national teams. It's crazy. So, yeah, Mark, we don't hate you. We just make fun of you, and you know, we hope it's not too bad. Unless you play us, then we hope you do your usual nonsense. Let's go to questions now. Now, we got two questions. So Captain Armadillo asked, is Kalajic's undetermined future a distraction to him, impeding his game, or did the guys serving him balls suck? Interesting way to write that. Or both. I said I disagreed with your initial response on Twitter. Then I realized I misread your response. I actually do agree with you, but that's called it's called clickbait in the business.
So, yeah, don't change it.
I don't think it is. I just explained earlier. I think he's still involved. You saw him in the Leipzig game coaching from the sidelines. He had at least one great pass to Silas, actually two great passes to Silas. I think it's a little bit like Thiago. Strikers are based on exactly one thing. And if you don't do that one thing, score goals, questions start to get asked. I think he's still playing hard. I think he's still playing well. I think he's just not getting the services that he needs, like you said earlier. So I don't think it's impeding his game. I, as a supporter, want this clarified sooner than later, just so everybody can move on. What are your thoughts on Kalajic, his future, and if it's impacting the team?
I think there's two things that make me think that he's not distracted and thinking about being anywhere else. And the one is that in the offseason, he told Mislintat that if they didn't sell him before the season started, that he would sign a contract extension so that Stuttgart didn't have to worry about him leaving for free. So that shows he's got a commitment and that he's looking out for the team. Thinking about the best interests of the club, which you can't really ask for much more than that. The second thing, I have seen how he's been after getting subbed out of games and running up and down the side of the pitch and cheering for his teammates. This is not the body language of a guy who's checked out and thinking about other stuff. I don't know that I'd say the guys serving on the ball sucked. I think we're figuring out how to do that with the bodies we have available right now. So in those games, maybe they sucked. I don't think it's a long-term suck problem. very articulate.
Well said.
But yeah, I'm not, Sasa's commitment to the team and focus is not something I worry about at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And if not for one mess in the box in the 94th minute against Bremen, I bet we're not really asking too much of that. And we're celebrating the two assists he had.
Or if Silas manages to chip that second ball that he almost had.
Right.
Or if Egloff doesn't miss.
That shot neither of us remember.
Oh.
I mean, wait, yes.
I mean, oh, it was, oh, just, and then it, oh, you know, the thing, wow. Just, how about that?
We need to edit that out too. All right, the next question. Flabby Viking asks, does the game against Freiburg feel like a derby for you? I know it is for the geography and for the Travis and Austin, but the club is just too darn likable to engender any kind of Karlsruhe / Kickers vibes. From what I've heard, Matt, and we only have about 3 minutes left here, no, it's not a derby. The Stuttgart fans don't consider it a derby. I don't know why. I think it's simply just because Freiburg has always been kind of under the radar for so many years.
Mm-hmm. It might become one. Maybe we're at the dawn of a rivalry. If Freiburg maintains the high level that they've had for the last couple of years and we get our act together, it could be a really fun rivalry. But I don't know. It's not a – I saw this game on the schedule and I didn't go, ooh, those guys.
Yeah, so I agree with Flabby Viking and I agree with Matt. It's not – I guess it's not a rivalry. The sidebar question is, who do you consider Stuttgart's rival? I went on the Twitter machine and to the very reliable Wikipedia, and Wikipedia tells me that it's Karlsruhe, which I knew, the Stuttgart Kickers, which are still in the Pokal, which is awesome. And
sweet.
Yeah, Bayern Munich, but it was because Bayern Munich always steals our players. And so
yeah.
I was thinking about this, and one of the only downsides of being a Stuttgart fan, well, the only downside ever.
The only.
The only one is that I don't really think we have a pure, true derby / rival like Cologne has or like Hamburg has or like even the pretend one between Dortmund and Bayern.
Yeah.
So you see the schedule. Who is the team that gets your blood boiling?
I've got one for you.
Ooh, bring it.
Union Berlin.
I don't understand why.
So because they play dirty.
Fair.
Because they play dirty.
Oh, gotcha.
Because right. They play dirty. But also, they're the team that sent us down last time in the relegation playoff.
Yeah.
And they played dirty in that game. And it was both the games, they were not really well officiated. And while we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot a whole lot, Union sent us down to the second division. And then they've been a stalwart presence in the Bundesliga ever since. And that irritates the snot out of me.
It's crazy how many Stuttgart fans agree 100% with you. I recently just bought a book about the history of Union Berlin from Kit Holden, who does a couple podcasts. And the comments were, oh, finally a Stuttgart fan who was supporting Union Berlin. So I don't know if I made a mistake in actually buying the book. It's too late to return it. That's fair, though. The relegation part and the dirty play part. To me, it's Augsburg. It's Augsburg, Augsburg, Augsburg. They're Schwaben, just like we are.
Fair. They
are in the same southern German area, just like Stuttgart is. They've got a little bit of that dirty play, but they've also got that boring, mundane play. They survive, and you're just like, no, you should. Why you and not us? type of thing. There is connection between some of the players and coaches over the years. So
sure. For me,
it's Augsburg, mostly because – whenever we play them, we don't do that well. And so I get upset about that.
That's fair.
For me, it's Augsburg. So when that match is on, I'll get pretty fired up for that or scared or the both. I'm not sure which. But Union Berlin and Augsburg are going to, I guess, be the big derby matches for us, huh?
I'm on board. Let's take the Unions and the Fighting Pineapples.
Speaking of derbies, we're going to move on to part three now where Austin and myself are going to discuss the action coming up this week. Welcome back to Valpy Stuttgart Americana. We are in part three now, and we are lucky to be joined by Austin, who's going to help us do some Bundesliga-wide predictions. First off, Austin, before we get started, tough luck loss for your Freiburglass match, eh?
Yeah, that was difficult. It looked good for 75 minutes, and then Dortmund put in the kids, and the kids just put a shellacking on us for the last 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, after that first goal, I mean, what just a weird goal that Flecken let in. And then after that, it's like Dortmund just woke up and mm-hmm. again, kids shellacked us.
The kids got you. Yeah, that was a big comeback win for Dortmund. Tough loss for you guys. Especially tough for you is that you had played your daughter in Tipkick, and Tipkick had predicted you were going to win 4-0, but Tipkick has had a horrific run of form, is now 0-1 on the season. The good news for you is that you and I just played some Tipkick, and we'll reveal the results of that in a minute, but, well, I already kind of revealed it. We'll see how this goes. All right, so last week, Oz, you had a rough one. You, Jeff, and Matt all went 2-1-6 in your predictions. I went 4-1-4 in my predictions. Matt is in the lead, though, overall after 2 weeks with 10 victories and 18. Although you, Jeff, and I are all tied at 8-1-9. So not doing
respectable.
Respectable. Yeah, we'll take that. All right. In the Stuttgart picks, you and I are 1-1, and Matt and Jeff are 2-0. So we'll see how that pans out here.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing we want to talk about are the actual matches that are taking place. So the first one is going to be on Friday, and that's going to be Gladbach versus Hertha Berlin. Hertha Berlin is getting one goal on this one on the road. So if you don't know how this works, remember, the underdog gets a goal from the sports books. Mm-hmm. And this one, Hertha is getting that goal. Us, they tied Frankfurt last week on a controversial penalty that was overruled at the end that could have seen them get the win.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I'm thinking Gladbach here just because they're at home. I think it would be a tie, but I'm going to say Gladbach takes this one.
I'm going to go with you on this one. Gladbach, Hertha, I just don't think he's going to be that strong this year. Gladbach's third on the table right now. They've got 4 points. Hertha, they're playing tough. They're playing strong, but I like Gladbach in this one on Friday. Could be a close one, though. They're getting a goal. All right, let's go to Saturday's matches. The team that never gets relegated, Augsburg, had a really nice result against a struggling Leverkusen on the road. They won 2-1. They are hosting Mainz, a team that had a draw at home versus Union Berlin. All right. You can't go against Augsburg ever. Augsburg is getting half a goal. I'm taking Augsburg in this one plus half a goal. What say you?
Yeah, I'm not confident in Mainz yet this season. And powerhouse Augsburg is just, I mean, what more can you say about them?
Dead radio silence. That's exactly what we can say about him. All right. Struggling Leverkusen lost, like we said, to Augsburg. They are at home and they're facing Hoffenheim. I'm a little surprised at the spread on this one. Now, Hoffenheim barely beat Bochum 3-2 at home last week. Hoffenheim's getting half a goal mm-hmm. on the road. I have been saying since our preseason preview that I'm high on Hoffenheim. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Leverkusen is... they've had a rough go. They lost their Pokal match. They lost this match to Augsburg. They're reeling a bit. I got Hoffenheim. What about you?
You know, I'm still taking Leverkusen. I think they're setting up for that dramatic stretch run at the end to win league. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to just give up as many points as they can. And then they're going to roar back.
If you don't remember, Austin predicted that Leverkusen would win the Bundesliga. They're currently 0-2 with 0 points. So they're getting all those losses out of the way early. So that's pretty good.
Going to win relegation.
Well, yeah. Speaking of a team that we thought would be on the relegation table, and they still may, we've got Dortmund versus Bremen. Now, certainly not Dortmund. They had that nice comeback against you guys on Friday. Mm. And the team I'm talking about, though, is Bremen. Bremen played Stuttgart, and it's one of those tough matches to figure out. Was Stuttgart just lousy? Was Bremen just good? But Bremen's played two tough matches in a row against probably lower half teams in Wolfsburg and Stuttgart.
Mm-hmm.
They've started strong in each of those. They are just coming out on fire. I was really impressed with how they played. They've got a very simplistic system, but they come out. And the question for them is, can they hold it for 90 minutes? They're getting 1.5 goals in this one. And so I'm going to take Bremen plus 1.5 goals, even though they're on the road, even though they're playing a Dortmund team that just scored 3. What about you?
I'm taking Bremen, man. Watching Dortmund against Freiburg last week, they looked stagnant for 75 minutes until those kids came in. And, you know, so I have no confidence in Dortmund, even though they're at home. But if they played anything like they did last week, Bremen is going to take this one easily.
Wow, easily. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. All right. The big match, obviously, is Stuttgart hosting Freiburg. Stuttgart is coming off a 2-2 late-minute draw, late-second draw, just super disappointing. Freiburg is coming off a late loss, super disappointing for them. So both clubs are coming to meet together disappointed, much like what happened when you and I meet.
Yeah, well.
It always ends in disappointment. Now, the bad thing for you is it's at Stuttgart, so you have to travel.
Right.
The good thing for you is you and I just played Tipkick, and the results of Tipkick, well, what were they?
They were 7-5 in Stuttgart's favor, which means it's in Freiburg's favor.
Yeah, Tipkick has done a horrific job of predicting. Last year they were 9-33. This year they're 0-1. Oz, give us a little thoughts on the match and how you see it going.
You know what? I'm actually excited for this match.
You don't have to say actually. You can be excited for what
I'm excited are. For the match because Freiburg have shown in their first two games, as well as Stuttgart, I believe, that they're willing to play with some pace. Mm-hmm. And this game I think it's going to be really pacey. I think it's going to be a fun watch. It's going to be up and down the field. I could see like 3-5 goals in this thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take in Freiburg.
Yeah, it's a pick'em. So this means they're giving a little bit of an advantage to Freiburg because usually the traveling team gets a half a goal or so, but this one is straight up pick 'em. So they're saying that Freiburg's got the slight advantage in this one. Like Matt and I talked about in part two, it's tough because we've lost 4 in a row to you guys. Got the Pokal win for what that was worth a couple years ago, but it's just been rough go against Freiburg. For whatever reason, you guys are kind of the bogey.
Because we're good.
Nah, I can't believe that. I refuse to believe that. Yeah. I hate picking against my club, but Freiburg is just on a tear.
And the interesting thing about Freiburg, one more thing, is all the people that we brought in this season are the ones that are contributing early on.
Yeah.
Ginter, Gregorich, I'm sure that I nailed that. And Doan. I mean, they've all contributed, and that's the exciting part.
Or Gregorich.
Depends on that.
All 5 of them. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Sasa had some amazing passes last week. Silas looks like he's coming back into form. Florian Mueller's playing really well. If not for a just mess in the box at the very end, we're able to pull out 3 points. I'm going to say, just to do it, it's going to be a draw, just because I don't want to pick against my club. I think we struggle when teams press and push, and that's what happened to us this week. And I worry that's what you guys are going to do. So I got the draw on this one so we can keep the brotherly happiness going here. Mm-hmm. The other match that day is Wolfsburg versus Schalke. Wolfsburg is at home. Schalke is on the road. Schalke is getting 0.5 goal in this one. I'm taking Wolfsburg.
I'm taking Schalke. I just don't like Wolfsburg. Sorry.
I'm sure they're okay with it. You know what? They were down 0-2 to Bayern in the first half and only ended up losing 2-0. So they kind of held some things together. I love their coach, Niko Kovac. I don't care for the club too much, but maybe it's just more about what I think about Schalke. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they've got the tools to be able to stick around. But they got that big draw last week in the last minute on a penalty, so good for them. Then the last match of the day is Berlin Union hosting Leipzig. Leipzig is getting – are minus 0.5 goal on this one. So Leipzig is the favorite. I'm going to take Leipzig, even though they're on the road. I think Timo Werner coming back is a big win for them. That kid got a luck goal against Cologne, Jeff's team, but he got it. He's off the schneid right away. He's back home to where he was playing really well before he went to the Premier League. I think he's going to be kind of the key to that team's engine for a little bit. Union Berlin, I think, is going to be scrapping a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I got Leipzig in this one.
Yeah, I mean, in Berlin, they seem to be a team that's going to do well against really bottom tier teams of the table. I'm with you. I'm taking Leipzig on this one.
All right. So then we go to Sunday's matches. We've got a Frankfurt club that is struggling a bit since Kostic left to, I believe, is it Serie A?
Went to
Juventus or something?
Yeah.
Juventus. Okay. Look at us. We know things.
This is great. Also, the internet's pretty awesome. So they're struggling a little bit since he left. They got a draw versus Hertha, but there was, like I said, a controversial penalty kick that wasn't called. They could have come out of that with 0 points. They're at home. They're hosting a Cologne side that is, I thought, going to be reeling after Anthony Modeste left to Dortmund, but that has not been the case. They easily could have gotten the win on the road at Leipzig, but ended up in a 2-2 draw. Cologne is getting half a goal in this one. I love Cologne in this one. I am taking the Billy Goats plus half a goal.
I'm with you.
Okay, there you have it. Now let's move on to the final match of the day is Bochum hosting Bayern. Just for kicks, what do you think the odds makers have this one at?
Oh, wow. 2.5?
Two. So it's Bayern minus two. Bayern minus 2.5 versus Wolfsburg last match day. Now it's minus two versus a Bochum team. I'm going Bayern in this one. They just seem like a scary, scary team this year. Like, they're angry that Lewandowski is gone, that there were some doubters out there. Mm-hmm. They look like a team that wants to run it up all the time. And mm-hmm. I know this only because I have almost every single one of their players on my fantasy Bundesliga team, because they should honestly make a rule where you can't pick Bayern players or more than one, because it's just not fair. So I got Bayern in this one, even though they're giving up two goals to start.
Yeah, I think that this team's on a mission to try to win league earlier than they usually do, just to, you know, stick it to Lewandowski a little bit. And I'm with you. I'm taking Bayern as well.
Yep. All right. So there you have it. So far, we're right behind Matt when it comes to predictions, but we're doing, you know, pretty good so far. So we'll see what this next week comes. And then I believe there'll be some Europa play coming up for your team and Europa Conference League play for Jeff's team. Mm-hmm. There'll be some, I don't know, rest for my team. So they won't be doing too much there. All right, Oz, any last thoughts before we wrap up part three and our predictions?
No, it's just I got to get you out of state before this game happens, because it's not going to be fun for one of us.
Well, this wasn't fun for anybody listening to us, so it's all fair. All right, my man, have a great one. We'll talk to you next week.